Okay, I see you. Okay, so today's date is January 31st, 2024, and I was going to do a recording last night, but I don't know, I just didn't. But my butt was just buzzed waking up, or I should say, my butt ox was buzzed while I was like still sleeping, and about, I don't know, I want to say about 30 to 40 minutes ago, because I didn't look at the time when it happened. And I was just laying there, and I'm trying to like really, I should have did it, the recording right away, but I was just thinking how someone is deliberately using the biotech that was snuck in my body in a subjective, subjugated way. And I know that once I get that person to stop using it that way, I won't feel the way that I'm feeling. So I feel like because of the way that someone is choosing to use the biotech on me, that is why I feel the way I feel. Last night when I was scrolling through my emails, all of a sudden, my Indeed profile just pops up on my phone. Like I didn't click on it. It just pops up on my phone, and I instantly got angry about it because I was just like, I'm gonna play my 911 calls. I don't know if I really need to play them, but I had just called 911 the other day. And pretty much the whole weekend I was physically tortured. Like I literally was, my legs, my ankles, my knees, really it was my knees and my calves were on fire, but it feels like your entire legs are on fire, both of them. I was hurt so bad this weekend. Amongst other things, like a lot of things happens to my body with this biotech, but a lot of it is like it happens so fast, I don't even really get time to react to it. Most of it I can ignore because it's been in my body for 9 years. Allegheny Health Network, Dr. Frederick B. Price, and Westman Hospital snuck biotech in my body. So there's like a lot of things that happens to me that I used to notate, but most of the times I don't even notate because I'm used to it and I ignore it. But then there's things that happen to my body that is pretty hard to ignore because it lasts for a certain amount of time. It has a certain type of intensity where you know, it's kind of like you can't ignore it. It hurts. So this weekend was one of these, you can't ignore it. I was like tortured. And still, I feel like no one's cutting on me. No one's going to do any more surgeries on me that I'm like how my grandfather was with cancer. At the end, my grandfather, he had went through like chemo and he had tried to fight his cancer. And then after, I think when it came back, he was just like, I'm done. This either I'm going to just ride the pony, ride the roller coaster into the end. He didn't want any more like procedures to try to like extend his life, because he was exhausted from the treatments that he had went through. And he kind of felt like it is going to be what it is. And I've been felt that way ever since the biotech was snuck in my body. ever since I've seen all the things that my kids have gone through and how we've lived, like I feel like people don't always tell you how they feel about you. They show you how they feel about you. And I feel like I've been shown how the people who did this to me feel about me simply in simple ways, just by the way I live, the lack of money and resources I have, the physical pain that's inflicted on my body. Like to me, that communicates volumes, the complaints that I filed and they were ignored. You know, I don't think everyone feels that way, but I definitely feel like the people who actually can make a difference in my existence definitely feel that way. 'Cause I was like, why did you have to sneak the biotech in my body and have me live poor or have me live in deplorable, dilapidated circumstances? Why did you have to sneak the biotech in my body and use it to hurt me when you know that there's so many things about the biotech that doesn't hurt? Why did you have to sneak the biotech in my body and allow me and my kids to live in these conditions under these circumstances with hardly no money, being physically hurt? Why? You know, like I just did a recording the other day and I said, I bet you if I somehow became like a millionaire or billionaire off of a stock, I was just thinking about Martha Stewart because they kept like showing her commercial on CNN how, you know, she went to jail for insider trading, you know. And I was just like, what if I was to become a millionaire, a billionaire based off of picking the right stock, you know, kind of like Zach and Zatima, right? Then suddenly, after 9 years, there'll be so many people that want to out the fact that I have this biotech in my body. But as long as I am the underdog, as long as I'm being subjugated and subjected, as long as I'm living low and have nothing, you turn a blind eye and you ignore the fact that I have this biotech in my body, right? You ignore it. Like, I've called the police, I've called attorneys, I filed complaints. But as long as you can subjugate me and subject me to the worst living conditions and possible circumstances. So when you look at my block, by the way, my block is a nice block. That my house actually could be a nice house if it was renovated, but it's not. And if you walk inside my house, you'll see exactly what I'm saying. You go walk in my kitchen, you walk in my bathroom, you walk and just look at the conditions of just certain things in my house, and you will understand that. You walk in my laundry room, we don't really have a laundry room. We don't even have like a real stove, you know. It's so many things we don't have because I've been spoon-fed little tiny itsy bitty increments of money throughout the years, even though I've made millions off of just a lot of things, off of my designs, my ideas, my patents, a lot of things that I don't even talk about in my recordings because my recordings a lot of times are just documenting what happens to me with this biotech. But even with the biotech being snuck in my body and being used on me since 2015, all of that, we live like 300% below poverty. We hardly have any money, and someone is always trying to, like, I'm so much calmer now doing this recording. I wish I would have did it last night when I was really upset because I felt like it expressed the hurt because I feel like someone is trying to turn me. They want to be able to utilize me after I've been tortured, and this biotech has been snuck in my body. And I was like, I said a lot of things out loud last night that I don't know if I feel so comfortable saying in the recording. But I definitely feel like the way the biotech is used on me affects the way that I feel. And I always feel like if this wasn't being done to me, or if it wasn't being used this way, then I wouldn't feel this way. And I feel like whoever keeps using on me hates the is afraid of me, or afraid of who I could be or am with this biotech in my body. And the reason why I say that is I always said that the biotech was like an untailored suit where someone snuck it in my body. And they did all these horrible, violent rapist, malicious things with it, and I had no choice but to wear it. I had no choice but to wear it with the violence, wear it with the rape, wear it with the hurt and the mock and the emotional pain. And I had to find a way to cope with something that I couldn't take off. So I tailored it. And I tailored it metaphorically in a way that made it tolerable. And I feel like I tailored it so well that the people that did this to me actually see the tailored suit and they're afraid of it because I feel like it makes you privy. It gives you the advantage. You're not subjugated or subjected. You're elite. And they don't want that either. I feel like they never really snuck this biotech in my body for me to tailor the suit. They want me to be subjected and subjugated. They want me to be subservient and to live in fear and to be agitated and irritated. They want to be able to micromanage my life and my body and my pussy and my vagina. They want to be able to manage my sex life and manage what I feel if I get to feel anything. They don't want anything in my life to be a choice. I think I know in my manuscript I said, and I said it many times in my recordings, like even with that Indeed profile just popping up on my phone, I was like, you want me to have a choice in how I labor, but not a choice in how I love or feel sex or feel desire. You want to be able to put my vagina on a time schedule that I don't control, that somebody else controls, that I don't know, or some computer system controls that makes it feel more like rape and violence and trauma. You want to be able to remote sync my pussy to some stranger's dick using software or using a program that I don't control, but the stranger controls and can initiate. And, like I'm not, like I said, like I had this thing, I said, I'm not initiating, I'm not reciprocating, I'm not participating. So then why is it happening? Right? So you don't want me to have a choice in anything that I do. Nothing. And I feel like that's slavery. And I feel like that's beyond third world. I feel like it doesn't align with a democracy. And I'm saying it in such a calmer way. Yesterday I said it in a real raw way. I'm only scared to repeat it because I feel like I say it better when I'm truly feeling that element. But for me to try to repeat it and I'm like in a much calmer state, it won't come out the same. So I just have to wait until I get mad enough again to say all the stuff that I said last night. But it was true. Everything I said last night was the real. It was the real, 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 real. It's kind of like even when I got a business call this morning, right? The guy was nice. But I felt like waking up after getting my butt buzzed and feeling not the hatred that comes along with treating me this way with the biotech in my body. I like when someone does that to me, I sense that they're afraid. I sense that they hate and they're afraid, like kind of like being black. And I don't look typically, I typically don't like to go into color, but sometimes people just don't like the fact that you're black. They hate it. They want you to feel bad for being black. They want to remind you that you're inferior. They want to make you feel less than, and they want to make you feel like you're not entitled. And those are people that are typically racist, except someone that might be doing this to me right now actually might be black. But what I feel like is they don't want me to feel entitled with the biotech in my body. They want me to hate myself with the biotech in my body. So they use it on me in a hateful way. They want me to fear the biotech that's in my body, that was snuck in my body. They want me to hate my existence. They want me to be annoyed with my existence. They want me to. And I don't, and the whole thing is, I see it the same way as how someone treats someone because they're black. They just don't like them because they're black. They want them to feel less than. They want them to feel inferior. They want them to hate themselves because they're black. They remind them every day that you're less than, you're not attractive, you're stupid, you're this because you're black. I feel like someone's doing the same thing to me with the biotech. And I feel like the person that actually might be doing this to me with the biotech could possibly be black. Isn't that ironic? It could be someone white too. It don't matter. I mean, honestly, I feel like a lot of people are going to, I feel like being artificially augmented as a human, I'm going to get like being gay, like anything that is different from the norm. You always have haters that want to make you feel like you don't belong. You always have haters that want to ostracize and focus on the negative of how of something or the like even buzzing me out of bed, trying to treat me like I'm on a high tech plantation when I should be a millionaire because this biotech was like snuck in my body. It was snuck in my body. The biotech was snuck in my body. I didn't consent to it. It was snuck in my body. And for that, I deserve millions more than that lady Carol who was defamed. Someone said something bad about her. You did something bad to my body. And then I'm living in deplorable circumstances. And then you're using the biotech on me to hurt me. And you keep trying to like pimp me. I feel like whoever's buzzing me out of my bed, you keep trying to like pimp me. You want me to go out and scrub floors like I said yesterday, and I'm really nervous saying it because I'm not as angry as I was yesterday, but I said that you want me to get my accolades being subjected to serving and servitude. I was like, but I was trying to show like I should be able to get my accolades being equal, meaning under the law, being treated equal under the law, but I'm not being treated equal under the law. Like biotech was snuck in my body and it was used to hurt me and abuse me. And instead of it being addressed in the court, instead of me getting due diligence, due process, instead of popping up my Indeed profile, why aren't you popping up a civil rights attorney, a human rights attorney? Why is the opportunities that come my way always seem to be finding some kind of way to try to utilize me while you're still subjecting me to physical torture, physical rape, and pain with the biotech? Why is the motivation and the focus always on trying to like mule my body like hard labor? Like, isn't it enough that you snuck biotech in my body and that it was used to hurt me and that it was done to me without my consent and that I'm being maliciously raped? Why is it that you're still trying to focus on trying to find some kind of way to utilize me in servitude and subjugate me as a way out? Like as a way out, why isn't it justice and restitution under the law for violating my civil and human rights? Why is that not the way out? You see what I'm saying? So I just feel like I said it much better yesterday. Like I said, I'm calmer now. And it's not coming out the same. Sometimes I feel like when I explain things in a calm way, it doesn't really capture the pain. The pain, the rage, pain and the rage. Yesterday, I was like in rage, and I feel like my words captured it in real time, but I wasn't recording. And I said a lot of things that were probably like, you know, things that I'm not really comfortable saying now, but I don't regret it because I know that it's true. I know that's really how I felt. I know that it's real. I know that, you know, I'm always trying to make sure that I don't put more on myself where I might snap, you know, because I know the circumstances that I'm dealing with that could cause a person to snap. And I feel like potentially that's what someone might be trying to do. They might be trying to get me to snap, you know, because it's like trying to get your cake and eat it too, putting me in an impossible circumstance where I might have like a bad reaction, and then that will like villainize me. And then you can also get my dead body and the research and my radioactive cell tissue all at the same time, because no one cares about a villain. So you're trying to like put me in a villainous circumstance. Like you deliberately deny me resources, and then you and on top of like my bills are overly inflated. Like I just paid $624 to Comcast for my internet, and then last month I paid $232. I only have three cars, and I'm paying $762 for insurance, right? Doesn't make any sense. I took my car off of the insurance and separated it from my kids just to see if I had the same rates because I have a stick shift, and they were charging me $250 for one vehicle just for myself on a stick that only I can drive. And before, a few months before, for since 2014, I paid $142 or $124 a month, $250 deductible, comprehensive, and collision, full tort, $250 deductible, comprehensive, and collision since 2014 for one car driving because I have had no moving violations and no at-fault accidents. And Geico told me that someone lied on my records because she's saying, if you're telling me you don't have no movement violations, no accidents, they saying you had like eight or nine accidents. And I'm like, well, my kids, first of all, we never had eight or nine accidents. I never had no at-fault accidents in 6 years. And my kids are not even on this policy. It's just me with the car, with one car with, and it's a stick shift, and they have their own insurance. She said, no, they're saying you, not your kids, you. This, they're saying this is on your record. So, like, let's clear that up. So, someone maliciously lied to drive up my rates on purpose, where it's become like almost impossible. And the thing is, we live in an area where it's like one bus that leaves this neighborhood. My kids are grown now, they have to be able to get around and drive. Like, this is not like Philly, where you have Philly has the trolley, the bus, the L, the sub, the regional rail. Did I get them all? I said the trolley, the bus, the L, the sub, and the regional rail. Okay. That's five modes of transportation. Like, literally, where I live at, there's a regional rail at the corner. On the other end, where my friend Angie live at, there's a trolley. Up the street at the 7-Eleven, there's a bus. And all of them run like every 30 minutes. Some of them run in quicker intervals than that. That's three modes of transportation around you. Where I live at here, there is one bus that is 3/4 of a mile away that you have to walk to that leaves this neighborhood either once an hour or once every 45 minutes. It's just not the same. Okay. So, and I have problems with my body, like my back, my legs, all of it. I'm like impaired slightly because of the biotech that's in my body. And then also this man hit me on February 8th from behind, and it like went up my back. So it's like the situation is not that good. And the truth of the matter is, I'm always in pain. I'm like used to pain at this point. Like, I can walk through pain. Like, whoever tortured me this weekend, I said a lot of things out loud, even this weekend. And again, I really need to do those recordings in real time. I really just need to hit my recorder when I'm upset because I feel like I'm not really, the pain is not transcending into my words, but I always feel like someone is like trying to hurt me so that I will bend the knee, right? And I'm like, regardless of how bad you hurt me, I'm still going to say fuck you. Like, the worse you hurt me, the more I'm going to guarantee and double down on articulating the fact that you don't have any control or power over me because it's not legal. That the only thing that I have to obey and listen to is the US law, that you're trying to create a confederacy with the biotech, or you're trying to create some separate system with the biotech that I just don't submit to. I the only thing you can do is communicate with me, and I'll decide whether or not I want to respond. Like that's how I look at the biotech. I look at the biotech as you never asked me, did I want it in my body? I don't even know who's behind the biotech that was put in my body. I know who my surgeons were, but who gave them permission to do this to me? Who funded it? Where did it, where the origin of where this comes from? So what that does for me is I feel like the way you did it allows me to still function in the way that I function even before you put this biotech in my body, meaning I have my own mind. I have my own moral code. This is my body, and I will decide whether or not I will comply. This is not groupthink. I was never involved in the consideration of this biotech being snuck in my body. This, the matter of fact, the contract is void because there was no consideration. You did not ask me and I consented. No, you snuck it in my body. So therefore, I'm always going to think for myself. And I refuse to be intimidated by whoever is using the biotech on me because I don't even know who the fuck you are. Like I take everything with like a grain of salt. Like I said, the way you use something changes its context. The way it's being used on me, where it's being used on me, the intensity of how it's being used on me communicates to me the context, whether or not it's something that I need to pay attention to, whether or not I need to turn to the left or turn to the right and see exactly what's going on, whether or not I need to maybe stop a minute and think before I speak, or maybe I need to run. Like I think for myself. I take what happens to my body into consideration because I can feel it, but it does not, it is not something that I will allow to intimidate me into being submissive, docile, subservient, or subjected or subjugated. It's just, it's kind of like this is the conclusions that I've come to after this biotech has been in my body for 9 years, but yet and still someone keeps wanting to use it that way. You're like trying to power trip, power play, and misuse and abuse the biotech because you want me to see how bad it is. And like I've been saw that. Like I just pulled up one of my journalism videos because I do photojournalism. I love doing it. I've done that all my life. I feel like I could in my other life, like I'm a movie critic, I could be a photojournalist. I use photos to articulate a message. I love doing it. I have fun doing it. I've done it like all my life, even when I was in college. I used to do presentations, PowerPoint presentations, all kinds of stuff using photos. And I did one. It says I did it 6 years ago, but I feel like I did it 8 years ago because I did it after I wrote that 2016 letter. So let me see, 2016 to 2020. Oh, well, wait. No, it's right. Okay, forget it because it's 2024, right? So 2016 to 2020, because in May, it'll be 9 years since I've had this biotech. So let me get my math straight. Because I wrote the letter in 2016, in the beginning of 2016. So 2016 to 2020 is 4 years. And then 2020 to 2024. Okay. No, yeah. That's 8 years. No, I got my math right. I did that photojournalism video back in like 28, I mean 20, 2016. It says I did it 6 years ago. That video is from 8 years ago. And sure enough, I said that someone changed the movie. Some of the like little things in my manuscript were changed. And because someone kept corrupting my first of all, my laptops were getting hacked. I kept buying new laptops, moving my manuscript over. I wasn't done. I kept writing and I said that I would go back and edit, but I was just writing. I was just writing, kind of like my recordings. Like I used to record, I still record almost every day, but not quite every day. But before I used to record 3, 4 times a day, and I didn't always label my recordings, but they were dated because the apps usually save them either with a sequence number or a date. And then some of them I would label, which is my fault. But I was pretty much doing the same thing with my manuscript, which was I was just writing every day, writing, not realizing that someone was looking at what I was writing and then going behind me, trying sometimes trying to mess up the flow of the points that I were trying to make. Sometimes I would catch it. Even there were times that I would document when I would call the police, that I would put in the operator's number, I would put in the police officer's information, I would say what I said, and I would date it, and it was in my manuscript. And someone was deleting those out of my manuscript. They were literally deleting that the documentation of my calls. Because I would document my call, who I spoke to, what I said, and then I would talk about how I felt. And that was like part of my manuscript. And I used to do that like on a daily basis. Someone was deleting some of them. But what they did was they had changed my movie, one of the movies that I had put on. They put the girl in the shed. And I was like, when I saw that, I was like, the girl in the shed. I was like, I did see that. But that's not one of the movies that I would have highlighted in my manuscript because it wasn't sinister enough. It wasn't the same type of it wasn't the same type of psychological warfare that I think I've experienced. Meaning, like when you think of someone being abducted, right? That's like blatant. They're abducted and they're held captive, right? That wasn't sinister enough for me. That wasn't on the same psychological level of what I was experiencing, which is it was more like a in plain sight effect, meaning more like how human trafficking works, where it happens in plain sight, and usually the people that are in your environment aren't really able to capture it, or like a battered woman syndrome, because a lot of times wealthy women, middle class women, they are literally battered and you don't even know it. They throw parties, they do things. It's like in plain sight, but it's like you can't quite get it. So the movie that I know that I would have put in my manuscript that I felt like reached the level or the psychological warfare or magnitude of the situation that I was in with this biotech was The Girl in the Box. Because The Girl in the Box, she lived in very strenuous conditions. But she developed a relationship with her captor, and he used to allow her to go home for the holidays and for the like for trips. And then she would go home and be with her family. And literally, I don't even know if she was pretending, but it would be like she would act like everything was okay. And then she would leave and go back to her captor, the person that was holding her captive. And then she would live in the box underneath his bed. So it was like happening in plain sight. Like, how do you go home, have dinner with your family, and spend all this time, and then go back and then live in a box underneath your captor's bed? And then she had like a relationship with him. Like he started to trust her and give her more freedom, but he still mistreated her and he still abused her. And then she intermingled in regular society as though everything was okay, but it wasn't. So that's like in plain sight. That's kind of like human trafficking, how that works. That's kind of like battered women syndrome, how that works. It's like it happens, it coexists. It's like an alternate reality within realities, kind of like the quantum physics theory. Now, the quantum physics theory, where coexisting realities exist, yeah, you want to take it out of the abusive realm and put it in the privy powerful realm of knowing before everyone else in the room, or knowing to leave the room before everyone else in the room, or being able to warn everyone in the room before everyone else knows in the room. That's the privy. That's the advantage of coexisting realities. But then there's also the disadvantage. There's the mental and physical abuse that coexists in your reality around other people, and they're unaware of it. The physical abuse that your body is inflicted with, the mental abuse that you're constantly undergoing in a coexisting reality. So it's like you, it's gestalt. There's a negative and there's a positive. There's two sides to that coin. And I said someone was trying to get props. Like, I'm not saying, why would you, like, I felt like someone might have been using my manuscript as like a promotional type thing, or trying to taint or slant the message that I was trying to communicate, because The Girl in the Shed is really bad. It's a horrible, horrible movie. But it doesn't quite, it's not on a psychological level of what this biotech is. This biotech is in your body. It communicates at the undetected at the speed of light, and the way that someone uses it on you and how they communicate with you with the biotech determines your reality. Like, if you're constantly getting burned or getting digitally raped or getting stabbed or getting choked or getting abused or getting your ligaments twisted, that's a horrible reality. And no one else can see that. You feel everything, and you still have the demands of and the standards that you must rise to in a normal society. That's something that, to me, I feel like that's what someone has been trying to require from me. You're trying to bring back Jim Crow, dingy Jim Crow. Like, you want to use the biotech like as dingy Jim Crow. You want us to coexist, but I got to go to the colored fountain and then you go to the white fountain. So it's not the same as, it's a metaphor. It's an analogy of saying that you want me to coexist, you want me to reach the standards and demands of society, but then you want me to have different and unequal treatment under the law by using the biotech on me in an abusive way, in a subjugated way, where there's no accountability. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. Like, I'm not going to be the one, the test dummy that you do this to, because I can see it from a mile away. I'm like, why can't I have the biotech in my body living in a mansion after what you've done to me? You snuck it in my body. You mistreated me. Why can't I have the bio? Why can't you test the biotech on me in a clean house, in a clean environment where I don't have any debt? Like, I feel like, why is it the worst circumstances with the biotech? I said in my manuscript, I said, the way that you get someone to accept something bad is to show them something worse. You're lowering the bar and the standards of living so that this somehow becomes acceptable, because it's like the warning of, if you don't go along and get along, then it can be so much worse. You'll be homeless, you know, like you'll be on the streets. If you don't accept these new standards of what we're trying to push on Americans, starting with you, then you'll potentially be homeless. So in order to get me to accept something bad, you show me the possibilities of something much worse. It's the same way as how you're crunching me financially with my lifestyle. You know, I told my mother on the phone, who, you know, like, my dad was the one that I would talk to about a lot of things, because my mom is, I love who my mom is, but I understand my mom, and I guess it's work for her, but my mom has always been that way all her life, and she's not going to change. And I respect my mother too. But I feel like sometimes she just, I don't know. I do feel like my mom has the part that I'm looking for in her, because she's told me some things, you know, about her childhood that I don't know if I really have the right to say. So she definitely has it in her. And maybe, I don't know, should I tell some of my mother's stories? But the bottom line is, my mom has worked really hard all of her life. Okay, my mom is like, she used to be a stenographer, and she knows shorthand. And what am I trying to say? My mom is like one of those, I don't know if those are the right words to use, over-glorified secretaries who dots her I's, crosses her T's, proud of her job, worked all her life very hard, a complete prune, paid for me to go to Catholic school. You know, my mom loves in the way that she provides. So she worked hard, She was a single mom all the way up until I was 16. She sent me to private school, sent my sister to, bought my sisters to private school. You know, she used her money to do it. And she did, she, but she's not, she don't have a lot of tolerance for like excuses. Like she don't, my mom has always been like, I feel like that's how I survived so long with the biotech, because she never really was sympathetic. But she, I know that she loves, but it's just not the way that other people expect her, like to see love. She's not that, my mom is not really sympathetic at all. Like we used to buy, even though she would spend all her money for private school and Catholic school, I used to get my clothes from the thrift store. The only thing that she would spend her money on is those shirts from JC Penney's and my uniforms. But other than that, and my mom also is a designer. She used to make our clothes. She was in Philadelphia, Dress the World. My mom is like a really good person, but she's just not, she just has this high standard and she's not really, she doesn't, she's not empathetic. She's not sympathetic. She, if something goes wrong, she's always like, what can you do better, Nicola? What can you make better? What can you do right? She just, she has a hard time dealing with, mom, I did this right, I did that right, and this is what they're still doing. You know, this is like they're crooked, or they're doing something deceptive. So like she don't know how to handle those type of situations. She's kind of like, she's like straight and narrow, and she kind of feels like she expects everyone else to be that way, and then when they're not, she, I don't know. But again, my mom isn't naive either. Like she told me some stories about when she was younger, how because she was really light skinned, they used to think that she was soft and they used to pick on her. And she said they used to try to bully her, but she wasn't the one to get bullied. And she told, I don't want to go into some of the, my mom handled certain things that happened to her when she was a child, you know, because she grew up in the 60s and she was very light. And you know, she said that people used to try her. So I know that she has some of that in her somewhere, but it's deep down. And I could go into some of her stories. You know. But the thing is, when I talk to my mom about things, she's always trying to find something that I didn't do right in order to fix the situation. And I'm like, and a lot of times I'll go with that because I'm like, if there's something that I can change, if there's something that I could do better, then by all means, if it'll solve the problem, then okay. But I feel like in this situation that I'm in, like I told her, I said, Mom, I was getting tortured all weekend. I said, someone wants to physically abuse me with the biotech. And then financially crunch me and inflate my bills on this side so that I become, so that I'm forced into this situation where I, you know, I don't want to become a terrorist. I don't want to become a terrorist. I don't want to do something that I might regret because I'm not a terrorist, but I feel like the situation that I'm in, it seems subjected, subjugated, and subservient. It seems like the only way that I can get my accolades is in servitude or in subjection or being subjugated when I don't have the same treatment or the same rights as all US citizens. And I said a lot of times I'm able to avoid feeling that feeling because I don't have to stay that long. It's kind of like, and so let me start with a simple example. Let me start with this example. So this is not really a good example. I feel like I probably will change it l later, but it's in real time and I feel like it's sort of, but it's not, I know it's not, because I said better things last night. Like I gave hypotheticals last night when I was angry about what could happen, like what might happen in that environment. But this one just happened just now and it's in real time, but I feel like it doesn't quite transcend or meet the mark of what it feels like. So I was just laying here and I was, my butt was getting buzzed and I felt like, oh, here we go again. Someone is trying to use the biotech on me in a subjugated, subjective manner. And I'm like, it's, I always say, am I angry at the biotech that my butt is getting buzzed, or am I more angry about the intent or the person's motivations? I'm more angry about the intent. Like, you have the audacity to think that you can buzz or whip me out of bed with technology like I'm on a fucking plantation. So it has the buzz on my butt. If it was in a different context, or if I set an alarm for myself, I probably might not have that feeling because I set the alarm. I wanted my butt to buzz. But someone else thinking, we can manage you, we can micromanage you, we can slave you, we can pimp you, we can utilize you, by you don't get to choose what time you wake up. We choose what time you wake up. We're gonna buzz you out of bed like you're not human, like you're property. We're going to manage your time like you're on a plantation. So the rage, the absolute rage that I felt against the person that was using the biotech on me was horrific. And but you would not know it because I was just laying there and I was just ignoring it because I'm like, I'm not ready to get up. I'm gonna get up when I fucking want to, you know, because I'm a grown ass woman. I'm an American citizen. You don't tell me when to get the fuck out of bed. I'm not a slave. I'm not property. You know, so these are like the thoughts and the feelings going through my mind. I didn't set that alarm. What do you want me to wake up to? I'll get up when I want to, you know? So these are the thoughts going on in my head. And I get up, you know, cause I have to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom, I come back in, I'm sitting on my bed. And then while I'm sitting here, my butt's still buzzing. Now my butt is still buzzing while I'm sitting up on my bed. And then I get this call, and it was a business call. And I felt like it was like, the guy was really nice, but it felt like he was like a shock in a pool of dirty water. So what I'm saying is like the transition hurts. Of course, I talked to him like, you would not know. And that's the scary thing about people with this biotech. I'm a true chameleon. You would not know that I was in pain talking to him. I was, you know, had a happy spirited conversation with him, but I felt like had it been like in a cubicle, or had it been somewhere between a 9 and 5, it would have been more dangerous, because the feelings start to set in after a while. Like, and what I mean by that is, he was nice. He doesn't know that, he may not have known that my butt was getting buzzed and that I was being shocked. He may not have known anything. He just called, you know, trying to make a sale. You know, but for me to have a conversation with him while all this stuff was happening to me, I did it because I can. I know how to do that. But I also felt, I felt I felt like, and that's the part that I feel like I need to really get to, how dangerous it is. Because it's like, I felt like the example I used yesterday was like even more, was better, because I said that those things have happened to me many times. I talked about them in my recordings, and I said the difference between those circumstances is that I'm able to leave, that even when I realize that someone's fucking with my head, it doesn't really matter because I don't have to stick around long enough to play with you. I can just leave. But it's happened many, like a million times. Like it's happened a million times, and I always do the 50-50, because the 50-50 is, this is an innocent bystander and they don't even know what has happened to you. They have no idea what you just went through. And I always keep that in my mind. And this allows me to entertain the social environment in a way that's civil. But the problem that I have is sometimes I know the other part, which is, you do know, and you're fucking with me, and you're like testing to see how much cooperation you can get from me while you're raping me and abusing me. And to me, I feel like, you know, I see dead people. It's just, it's really that simple. I'm like, I know better. You know better, Nicola. You know, you're God's child. you don't want to go out that way, you're not a terrorist. That's why I always say, I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a terrorist. Like, but you're not going to fucking, but you're trying to fucking play me. You're like digitally raping me and then burning me and twisting my ligaments and then trying to pretend in my face by having these like wet fucking conversations with me. You know, trying to get my goat or bait me. And then you know that if I do something, that I'm the one that's going to go to jail. See, that's the shit that is like, and I'm like, no, it gotta come the same way y'all giving it out. It's going to come back the same way y'all giving it out, incognito. Cause see, you start like, don't start none, won't be none, static. Like, that's how I feel. Like you, like self fucking defense. Like this is self defense. But it's going to be the same way that you do it. Psychological warfare. And incognito, being fucking slick. So those are the things that I try to avoid because I don't want war. I don't want to die and I don't want to kill anybody. But I feel like y'all fucking playing. You're baiting a situation where you can say angry black woman. You're an angry black woman. Or why is she so nasty? Or why is she this? Because the stuff that you're doing is like sneaky and slick and behind closed doors. And see, I don't want to play that game. I don't want to play that game. So I avoid that type of game. And sometimes I can avoid it. Sometimes it happens to me at times that I can't avoid it. But you know what? I always tell myself, you can leave. Just leave. Just leave. And I do. Because most of the times it's transactional. It's like in a transaction. And there's been times that people have tried to get my goat. You know, I've gotten attacked and then someone has said something to me right in my environment and I give them the 50-50. I'm like, this person may not even know that I'm being attacked. And to me, that saves my life because I feel like having that peace of mind, knowing that the same person that might be using the biotech on me is not the same people that are in my environment, allows me to still act civilly. But the truth of the matter is, I know sometimes it is the same people in my environment. Sometimes my environments have been conditioned and set up and people have tried things in real time in my environment to double down by doing things in my social environment and then doing things to me physically, trying to bait me. And to me, that's the trap because the only thing that you see is my reaction. You don't see me getting attacked by the biotech. You don't, and even the reaction, the things that are said within the environment seem normal from even the person that may be trying to give the attack. It's like, it's a normal conversation because there's a duplicity. There are coexisting realities happening all at the same time within an environment. And see, I don't feel like playing chess all day. I just don't. I don't have, someone might say you have the time, you should be bored. I just don't. I don't have the time or the energy and I don't want to lose my life today. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I'm not going to fucking play with you for too long. And that's how I feel. And I don't want to play. If I know you're bullshitting me, once I know that you're fucking with me, I'm not going to sit there and play games with you. And I feel like I will eventually know at a 9-to-5. Don't fuck with me. Don't be trying to digi fuck me in my goddamn house and burn my head. And then I come into work and I'm sitting next to you and you talking about, oh, how was your weekend? I went this weird place with my husband. I'm not doing that with you. I'm not. I'm just not going to fucking do it. And I'm not a violent person, but I just feel like I don't want to put myself in that situation. And the truth of the matter is, there's a lot about me about that has nothing to do with this biotech. I've had a lot of experiences in my life. I've dealt with a lot of people in my life. And I don't even need the biotech in my body for some of the shit that I just tried to explain to happen. Things like that have happened to me before without biotech in my body, right? And I've dealt with it. But my whole thing is, you're not going to try to turn me into a terrorist and shame my mother who worked hard all of her life. I'm not going to be on CNN because I shot up the fucking workplace because y'all fucked with me fucking digi fucking me in my ass and then digi fucking me in my vaginal area, burning the top of my head, and then trying to bullshit me at work at a 9 to 5. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And it's like, I feel like y'all playing games with this biotech. Y'all doing shit that y'all have no business doing without accountability. And then you're trying to slave and drone me all at the same time with the bullshit. It's just like, I be trying to avoid all of that. I be trying to avoid catastrophe. I be trying to avoid conflict, but you keep trying to pull me into it. And I'm telling you, it's like I said, the conversation with the guy was like shocking. He was a shock to dirty pool word. It was like a shock because he was so nice and so normal. And I talked to him in a nice, normal way, but I always feel like I'm at that cliff where I might realize that he's fucking with me. And I don't do well once I know you fucking with me. I don't do well. And I don't need to pick up a gun or a knife, but I will not fucking play with you. I won't do the tango. And that is the part that I just feel, but I will do the tango as long as I'm not fully aware. Sometimes I like not being fully aware because I feel like it keeps me safe. Just making that, doing the 50-50, just assuming that, you know what, this person has nothing to do with what's happening to my body. This person is innocent. So when I think like that, I feel like I want to protect you. I don't want to allow what someone else is doing to me ill-wise to hurt innocent people in my environment, because I have faced that too. I have faced people who I know is just being nice, or people that I know might just be having a bad day, or people that I know that might have been getting smart, but they don't really know what I went through. And I'm always like, I don't want to take out my frustrations or anger on some innocent bystander that's just having a bad day, or some innocent bystander that's just trying to be nice, or, you know, like it's like a delicate situation for me. And I'm like, I would never want to hurt an innocent person, never. But if you start fucking with me, if you're trying to play me, I'm not going to play with you. And I feel like the people that have done this to me know this. And maybe, and they're trying to get my dead body. They, you know who I am. Y'all know who I am. And you know how I be like walking that balance beam every day. Like, and sometimes I trip and I fall, but I get back up. But I'm like, I'm not going to voluntarily put myself in that situation, but you're trying to force me into that situation. That's why you're denying me resources and stuff. And I'm not it. I'm not the one. I'm just trying to tell you. I know myself. I know my limits. And it's just like, I know my limits. I know myself. And I know when someone's trying to get my goat. And sometimes I'm like, I'll think like, okay, this person's trying to get my goat. They think today is their day. This is their day. And I'm like, I'm not going to let you win. But all of that is exhausting. Like, I don't want to live my life like trying to, you know, tiptoe over booby traps. It's exhausting. It's exhausting being that paranoid. It's exhausting always waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's like exhausting. And literally, that's what it's like for me. And I'm like, that's why when I'm by myself, I'm not really that. You think I'm lonely, but I'm not. And I'm not antisocial. It's like, I will talk my head off. I will talk to you for hours if I know that I'm in an environment where I'm not going to get hurt. Or if I know I'm in an environment where someone's not trying to hurt me. But I feel like someone's always trying to hurt me. Or someone's trying to utilize me. You're trying to play me. You're trying to find a way to use me. And I'm like, I'm going to be a bitch. I'm going to glitch. You're getting more use out of me than I am out of you. You're trying to manage me, utilize me, and use me like I'm property, or like I'm not human. And I'm just like, yo, I'm
like you're only getting away with it because you're being deceptive. But I realize what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to get along, go along and get along. I'm not one of them type of people. Once I know what you're about, I don't care what title you are or how much money you got or how many people like you. I will call a spade a spade. That's just who I am. And that's why, I mean, that's probably why I have a lot of friends now. I don't play those games with people. I'm very nice. I can be very social, but don't play with me. And it's a lot of people trying to play with me, and I'm just not for it. And you're trying to back me into a corner and get me in an environment so you can like run more of your psychological tests. And I'm trying not to die. Like, and you don't even care if I die because you want my fucking body. You want my body. You want something bad to happen. And I'm just like, you keep trying to trap me. And it's just like, oh my God. So that's how it feels. It just feels like I'm in a trap all the time. It feels like I'm in a trap. And you want to have your way with me. And I keep trying to tell you, I'm not a slave. I'm not property. I'm not a machine. I'm not a robot. You're not a ventriloquist. I'm not a drone. Stop trying to manage me and utilize me and use me and maximize the resources of my body with this biotech. It's illegal and unconstitutional. And this has nothing to do with work. Like, again, I keep trying to say this has nothing to do with work. You know why? Because I know, like, if I liked or if I trusted the person and I enjoyed what I was doing, I probably would work my head off. Whatever it is, I would just do it 100% because I like the person or I like the goal or I like the initiative or I like what I'm doing. This has nothing to do with work. This has everything to do with being subjected, someone power tripping, power playing, feeling like they managing me, micromanaging me and utilizing me. And they got me under their thumb. No, like I don't function that way. You owe me millions for what you did to me. You have abused me with this biotech. You snuck it in my body. Anything that I do after that is my business. I'll do it at my own time if I feel like I can trust the situation. The thing is, I don't really feel like I can trust too many things. I know this by the way that I get attacked by the biotech constantly. By the things that happens to me when I leave my house on the road, by the way that my house is right now, by the way that my bills are being deliberately inflated, and how there's like minions that are always trying to find a way to make it where we have less money, always trying to find a way to trap me. It's like, to me, it's like you want to be able to control me down to my pussy. You want to be able to manage me. And I'm like, no, you need to be paying me millions for violating my human and civil rights and leaving me the fuck alone. And as far as my body, you can just wait until I die on my own time and stop trying to accelerate it by backing me into these corners that could cause catastrophe, which is probably what you want. So it's just like, that's kind of how I feel. I feel like even this didn't really say it the way it needed to be said. But I've said all this before. I definitely know, like, if I wasn't, and I try to like compartmentalize things too, because I'm always like, I always simplify things, like it could be some kid up the street or some guy up the street or some woman up the street who, you know, like obviously there must be something in my mattress, because there's a lot of little things that happen, a lot of little discrepancies that happen that I should say in this recording. So for the first time, this has happened before, but it's rare. But for the first time, and this is separate from my butt getting buzzed. So like, and when I talk about these little discrepancies or intricacies, this is where I lose credibility, but yet I'm telling the truth. So last night, my bed was vibrating. It wasn't even my body. Like, I can tell the difference between my bed vibrating and my body. I don't know how that's happening because my mattress is literally got a gaping hole in it, and there are metal rods in my mattress, but I really don't know how that's happening. And it's not even a bed, it's like a loft chair, but it was vibrating. And the difference between the bed itself or the loft, like the futon, sorry, not loft, futon chair vibrating versus my body is usually when it happens, I'm getting like digitally raped. So it had the same feeling, like the chair was vibrating and it had the sense that someone was masturbating, except it wasn't me. I was fully dressed. My vagina wasn't vibrating, nothing was happening. But my body wasn't vibrating, nothing. Just the bed. Now, usually it's the bed, and then all of a sudden my rectum is getting inflated, my vaginal area is getting inflated, and it's like someone's pumping my pussy, and I'm fully dressed. I'm not using my finger or any sex toys. That is like someone digi fucking me. But last night it was just the bed. Then towards the end, the bed stopped shaking, and then all of a sudden my vaginal area got squeezed once. So I didn't feel like I got digitally fucked. I didn't feel like I got raped. I was like, okay, if you want to shake the bed all night, it does feel like you're jacking off the way the bed was shaking, like back and forth, but I wasn't shaking. My pussy wasn't shaking. My rectum wasn't getting inflated. And so I like ignored it. I like literally fell asleep with the bed shaking. I was like, I'm just glad it's not my body, you know? But then when the bed stopped shaking at the end, my vaginal area got squeezed. Okay. But I didn't get digitally raped or fucked, which was a relief because I don't choose that. I don't choose that. I just sit there and I lay there or I ignore it. And it's like it's forced on me without my consent. So then this morning, I felt like something was trying to happen to my rectum. And then all of a sudden, my butt starts buzzing. And then I ignore that. And then all of a sudden, my bladder gets pushed on. And then I have no choice. I have to, you know, I get up and go to the bathroom and I come back. And then I'm sitting on my bed and there's like the Radio One player massage buzz up my buttock and up my legs. And none of that hurts, but it's like sometimes it's not, like I said, sometimes it's not the physical, like there are things that hurt me a lot. Like this weekend I was tortured. My legs were bent, burnt off. Literally, it was on the same level of someone taking a saw and cutting through your legs. That's what I felt all weekend. Like Saturday was when Comcast disconnected my internet. My legs were on fire the entire day, like hot burning fire, like someone took a hammer or a saw and cut through my legs. My knees and my sides were swollen on Sunday, and then they weren't getting burned off on Sunday, but Sunday night the attack started again. My knees, my legs started to get burnt off. It was like burn pain. It was horrific. And then Monday, it got to the point where one of my legs stayed swollen. And this is even after me using a percussor. Like I tried to use a percussor to kind of like break up the pain. Like if you cause pain in one area, it's like redistribution of pain. 'Cause then what it does is if you like it's kind of like the psychology. If to get someone to accept something bad, you show them something worse. So it's like trying to alleviate pain in one area by distracting the pain. I even tried that. It helped a little bit, but not a whole lot. I was in pain. But I always felt like someone keeps thinking that the pain is going to like make me submissive, subjective, or docile. Anything it is that I want to do, anything it is that I want to say, regardless if you're hurting me or not, I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it. Matter of fact, the more you hurt me, the more I'm going to double down and make sure I do it and say it. Like the pain has the opposite effect on me. If I feel like someone's hurting me because they're trying to stop me from doing something that I think is right, or if I feel like someone's hurting me because they think it's going to intimidate me and stop me from saying something that I know is true, trust and know that I'm going to double down and repeat it twice. I'm going to be more, even more articulate because you hurt me. That's like the kind of personality I have. It makes me angrier and it makes me want to follow through even more because you hurt me, especially if it's something that in my mind I've already agreed is either right or I've agreed that it's true. If you hurt me to try to like silence me, the only way that I will even comply with that type of pain is if somehow I come to realize logically that you might be right, or I come to realize logically that this could save a life, or I come to realize logically that perhaps I do need to shut my mouth. That's the only way. It has to be something like the pain. Knowing that you're trying to use pain to get me to bend the knee is like, doesn't, it's not going to work on me. I said it much meaner this weekend. I said, if you think hurting me is going to make me bend the knee to you, I said, even if it's like my last breath, I'm still going to say, fuck you. Because I feel like fear is the end of freedom. Like, I feel like you trying to use it that way is the end of freedom. The only way I would do that is if I felt like it was at someone else's expense and not at my own. Like if saving someone else's life, or, you know, sometimes you do need to bite your tongue and shut your mouth if it's at someone else's expense, you know, someone that didn't do anything to you. I'll maybe for that. But if you think, oh, I'm going to strong arm you to get you to obey me, we don't have no slave masters and overseers in the United States of America. Matter of fact, every fucking thing you're doing to me is illegal. So it's like, I have to logically see, it has to make sense to me. Don't think that the pain is making me bend the knee to you. I don't have that personality. I never did. You take my kindness for weakness, my docileness. I mean, and the truth of the matter is, I say all of this, and my daughter will come in and argue me down. It's like, I laugh at how I talk in my recorders because it sometimes seems like I bend the knee to my daughter. I don't really, and my son told me, he said, you're afraid of her. I'm not really afraid of her. I just know who my daughter is. It's like sometimes, how can I say this? You don't want to make a bad situation worse. And sometimes if you know that certain actions won't solve the problem and they only will make them worse to your loss, and your loss could be your loved one, your loss could be your situation, then I will bend the knee because I'm like, my goal is to satisfy, to make the situation better for my child and for me. For the moment, even if I don't agree, that's not really fear. That's kind of like wisdom. It's kind of like if you already see that this is about to go to this level, a level that you may not be able to return from, then perhaps this might not be the best way to handle this right now. So that has nothing to do with fear to me. That's not fear, because I feel like, sure, if you're willing to lose everything, if you're willing to die, if you're willing to sacrifice yourself, then yeah, I guess you could go the whole nine yards. But then you ask yourself, for what? Why do the stretch that doesn't give you anything if there's another way to solve the situation? So again, most of my moves are logical. It has nothing to do with fear. And it's the same thing with the biotech in my body. It's like whoever keeps trying to use it on me, I'm not afraid of you. I never have been. I should be. I think I'm afraid of all that could happen, but I'm not afraid of you. So I think I don't know if that even makes sense, but that's how I feel. I'm not afraid of you, but I'm afraid of all that can happen. I see how something small, the pee under the mattress, could literally cause a whole room to explode. And you like, damn, there could have been another way to solve this. There could have been another way to fix this. It's kind of like, but when your ego gets in the way, then it's like, and then you can't take it back. It's done. It's over. It can't be taken back. So I see a lot of things happening that can't be taken back. I see the pee under the mattress exploding the room. And it was just like, it didn't have to go that way. So I'm not afraid of you. I'm just afraid of all that can happen. And I be trying to avoid that. I really be trying to avoid that, but you keep trying to pull me in that direction. And I don't know how to get out of the trap. I feel like I'm in a trap. And I feel like it's because you want my body. I feel like all of this is because you want my body. You want the research in my body. You don't want to ever have to admit the truth of what you've done to me and how you treated me. That's why you keep trying to play these games with me. This is why you keep trying to utilize me for something. I don't really know what it is. I'm not your product. I am not a product. You're trying to use the biotech in my body as some type of marketing product using me. And I'm like, no, it's being misused. This biotech is being misused and abused. You're doing things to me that I'm ignoring, that I'm overlooking. And then potentially maybe you want me to give the biotech back. And I'm saying, no, no one's cutting on me. So then I feel like that could be the stronger attack that, okay, fine. You won't give us back the biotech in your body, then we're going to make your life absolutely miserable. We're going to keep hurting you and torturing you, like trying to get me to bend the knee until you let us off the hook, until you run back to the doctors and let us lie to you and find a way to sneak it out of your body. Except then here's the problem. I don't really trust or believe that you'll sneak it out of my body. I think that you'll kill me. So I'm always trying, and I've done this recording before because I'm like, I don't trust it. So it's not like an ultimatum or risk that I'm willing to take. It's like you're breathing now, but if you make this move, this could be your last breath. It hurts to breathe right here the way you're breathing. This hurts. Breathing like this hurts. But your other option is you're about to take your last breath. Well, I'm going to breathe through the pain. I'm not going to take my last breath with you. You've shown me how you feel about me. By the way you got me living, by the fact that I get ignored, by the way I'm being hurt, by the deliberate sabotage of my environment, by trying to find ways to decrease my income, limit my income, and then also inflate my bills. All at the same time, trying to trap me, trying to manage my pussy, even sexually. You know, the only choice I get is maybe in which job I pick, how I labor, but not in how I love, not how I feel affection. Like, I don't trust y'all like that. Like, no offense. Like, honestly, I don't even know who did this to me. I know Dr. Fred Price did this to me, but who does he work for? Who funded his project? Who gave him the allowance to do this? I like all of that allows me to think for myself. Like this is not group thing. The only way, like I said, every time you communicate, I literally wager and decide if it has validity. I feel like I literally look at every point of contact that it could be a different end user, a different mentality. It's like language, like when people talk to you in the street. Some people talk to you this way and other people talk to you that way. Some people say certain this to you and other people say that to you. However a person communicates with you is how you respond. So it's the same way with the feeling. I feel like it could be the boy up the street that knows how to hack things, you know, because kids are like a lot smarter these days. They know how to get into things. Somebody could be fucking with me. I can tell. Or it could be someone telling me, stop. Look to your left, look to your right, pay attention. You made a mistake. You forgot something. I can tell. That's how it communicates. But I won't be intimidated by it to the point where you'll be able to like control me or slave me or drone me or even, you know, the manipulation part. I pray, ask God for discernment with that, because I'm always being manipulated. Even now, doing this recording is a manipulation. Why did I do the recording? Because I was buzzed out of bed. That to me is someone pulling strings. Someone can say, hey, I can get her to record. I bet you I can get her to record. Watch this. That's a manipulation. So it's kind of like I'm still trying to find my way through all of this, but it's like there's like my absolutes, and I pretty much stuck to them. Even with, and whoever hurt me this weekend is like, yeah, she's sticking to them because we tortured her. You tortured me, tortured me, tortured me. And I'm like, why? Like, who is doing this to me? Why? I am not your property. And so, like, now I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do about a whole lot of things. I feel like I always feel like I'm in a trap, but it feels even more like a trap. But all my decisions literally are life threatening. Like, and as I laugh through my day and make jokes when I watch the news and make my little comments, it just, I turn things into lightheartedness, but really it's not. It's lightheartedness in my room, not in front of or interacting with or dealing with certain things. You can be lighthearted in your room where it's hard for someone to get to you. You get to me through the biotech, but I've learned how to ignore most of it. Most of it, I ignore it. But the situation is much different when you get in a different environment, and you, and now it's the real deal. You think I don't know the real deal. You think I feel like someone might think that I might be naive and gullible as to the extreme situation that I'm in. I'm not. I feel like I literally feel sometimes like I'm in a cave saving my life. That's how, because I'm like, sometimes literally I'll go through the day with no contact with anyone, no one. And sometimes I feel like it was a good day. No one bothered me. I didn't get hurt today. You know, I lived another day. And I mean, I always, and I try to use like, I use like Anne Frank as an example, or like if you know someone's trying to kill you, if you know that someone's trying to kill you all the time or trying to find some vulnerable moment, you feel relief when you get away from it. And I feel like that to me is also a manipulation, because it like creates paranoia, which is maybe what someone wants me to do, because you want me to isolate myself. You want me to feel like every time I go somewhere, every time I do something, you might try something, because then what it would do is make me not go anywhere. But the thing is, I'm not afraid to go places. Like this guy walked up on my porch. Like he didn't walk up on my porch. He started to walk towards my porch. So he didn't walk up on my porch. But I felt like even those things, you're trying to manipulate my environment where I feel fear so I don't go anywhere, because you're like, you're harvesting me as an incubator for your tech. And you're trying, it's like keeping your friends close and your enemies closer. You're trying to, you want my body. That's how I feel. You want my body. You don't want to tell the truth or pay restitution for what you've done to me. And so you're doing things, even when I go places and things are being done. And now the things that I just did a video the other day, like two. You know why I did those videos of, and I put it on, it's a YouTube video. I put it on a platform. But I did those that video because it's been happening so much. Like literally, like I told my mom, and my mom will say I've told her this more than once over several months or a year. I said, Mom, it's, because she was like, you really need to let the other kids drive the car when you come. But my kids have had their licenses for 4 years now. Has it been 4 years? They've had their licenses for a while. I think one of them has had it for 4 years. I've never let them drive from Philly to Pittsburgh or Pittsburgh to Philly. Never. I've been a single mom with three kids, and I've traveled every month up until COVID, and then after COVID for the holidays, I've been the only driver. My kids have never driven from Pittsburgh to Philly. You know why? Because I told my mom, when I go out, it's like a video game. That's why I got the camera glasses. So much stuff happens to me when I go out. So much stuff. Like the stuff is so crazy. Some of it is mean and some of it's not mean. Some of it is things that I won't even discuss. So much stuff happens to me. You do not always have to talk to a person to communicate how you feel or what your intentions are. So much stuff happens to me. And it's like, I'm just, the two little videos I show happens to me so much all the time. Literally, I swear more than 10 times I would go up Freeport and right at Dre Street. You're not supposed to make a left at Dre Street off of Freeport. Why me? Every time I go, like, that's happened, I swear, I can't count how many times I go up Freeport. No turn signal, nothing. The light turns green and the person just sits there and then sometimes don't make a left down Dre. You're not even supposed to do that. Like, and even with that, I give them the 50-50 because I'm like, if they not from here, then they won't know, right? So sometimes I don't even think it's on purpose. Sometimes I think people just be confused. But there are times when I know that the person isn't confused. I know that they're doing it on purpose. It was 2 weekends ago. I was at the Dollar Tree. I go to the Dollar Tree in Lower Borough. I wasn't even recording that day. I wasn't recording. This actually happened before the two recordings that I just got. But I go, you know, between the Donut Connection and the Long John Silver's. The man just sits there. The light is green. I'm telling you, the light was green for a long time. He just sits there. The lady behind me, I don't even know. She had on sunglasses, I think, but it wasn't no sun outside. She starts beeping the horn like a wild woman. Beep it. I never beep my horn. I just was watching him just sitting there. She starts beeping her horn. I look at my rear view and I put my hands up. And then she kind of like does a silent mouth off. And she's like, I know. Like, I could tell that's what she was saying. I know. Like, she knew it wasn't me. And so she just kept beeping her horn. He still sat there. The light was green forever. He finally went shortly before the light turned red, even after the lady behind me was beeping. This is the kind of shit that I'm talking about. It happens all the time. All the fucking time. When I tell you it happens all the time, it happens all the time. That's why I said, I'm going to have to start getting these assholes because they keep doing it. Like some of this is not it. Sometimes people make mistakes. I've done it. I mean, like, the best of us has done. We've been distracted. You know, like, the whole thing is people get distracted. They be talking to their kids. They, you know, all kinds of stuff. Like, I understand. I can kind of tell because sometimes when people do things like that, they wave. They'll, like, you know, or you could see that they reach back to their kid or something. You can tell. You can see them looking down at their cell phone. You can kind of tell when people wasn't, like, paying attention. But you can also tell when somebody is sitting there looking at you in their rear view, hearing the car behind beep, and then they ask, still sit there. Now, come on. You can tell the difference. Like, body language communicates people's intentions. You know, the way you do something communicates people's intentions. You know, you can kind of tell, you know, and I'm like, this is just happening a little bit too much. It's happening too much, too often. And I give grace because I want grace. There's times where I've done things, but it wasn't on purpose. So I feel like I even in my assumption, I'm always like, it's a 50-50, you know, like, I don't think that everyone spends their day trying to go out of their way to do bad things to people. But then sometimes people are petty and people do things on purpose and sometimes it's obvious, you know, like, sometimes it's undeniably obvious. So anywho, especially with the guy that, and that day I was not recording, the guy when we was at the Dollar Tree parking lot, leaving the Dollar Tree parking lot, it was on a weekend, like a Friday or Saturday. He sat there even after the woman behind me was beeping at him. He just sat there. I'm like, so I was the second car. He was the first one at the light. I was the second car. The light turned green and he just didn't go. And I never beeped the horn. And then she started beeping the horn and then shouting. So if there's cameras there, if you go 2 weekends back, you'll see it was like later in the day. And you'll see the white woman with the glasses on, beeping her horn, yelling. So after that, I was like, it's time to frame up. It's time to frame up. And sure enough, I've been framing up and it's been I've been catching it even more. But it was already happening. It had been happening. And I had told my mom, I was like, Mom, it's like a video game on the road. Like, people just be trying stuff. And I'd be like, it's like, sometimes I'm like, all right, even with the man that hit me from behind, it was a red light. He hit me before the light turned green. He hit me at the red light. Like, it was a red light. Like, it was all a bunch of cars. The light hadn't turned green. He hit me before the light turned green. It was a red light, ran right into me. And so I'm like, are you trying to get me hospitalized so you can get the biotech out of my body? Because you don't want to ever tell the truth about what you did to me or pay me restitution. Like, that's what I'd be thinking. Like, you're trying to create some type of catastrophe so that you don't have to admit or ever pay for what you've done to me. I don't know. I'm really not sure what's going on. I really am not. But I've had no at-fault accidents in more than 6 years. I've had no moving violations. I don't drive to get in no accidents because I love freedom. I love being able to do and go where I want when I want to. So I'm not trying to mess that up for myself. Neither are my kids. When we go out, we want to be safe. We don't want nothing to happen while we're on the road. But I feel like the people that have done this to me, they're trying to find a way to like strong arm and take away my freedom. Even more of my freedom by crunching my money, my resources, by inflating my bills, by possibly causing an accident when I'm on the road. Anything they can do to make my life harder when they should be telling the truth and paying me restitution for sneaking this biotech in my body. That's so when I say that, like when I'm home in my room, you would think I feel lonely. Sometimes I'm relieved. I feel safe, but I don't feel safe. I feel like I'm not living either. I feel like I should be going on vacations. I should be visiting other countries, you know, before I die. I should be, you know, spending a little bit more time with my kids in better environments. I should be washing my clothes in a nicely designed laundry room. I should be trying to cook different meals in a gourmet kitchen. Like, there's so many things that I could be doing throughout my day to make my day better. But everything is in deplorable circumstances. I should be taking a candlelit bath in my tub and just relaxing and smelling the lavender. But the grout in my tub is disgusting. Even if we clean it, it doesn't get clean. The water is cold. No one wants to sit in my tub. We take showers in it and rush out of it as fast as we can. You know, my kitchen, the roof is leaking. There's mold in the cabinets. It's just not a clean environment. Even if we clean it, it's not really clean. We just use the microwave. So I don't really cook that much in the kitchen that I used to cook in. You know, so it's like, I be just thinking how bad it is here. And then on top of it, I had the biotech in my body and I feel all this pain all the time. And it's like you're trying to close in my life so that I feel like it's not worth living my life by ignoring me when it comes to the biotech, not telling the truth about what's inside my body, by deliberately using it on me to physically hurt me all the time and rape me, by inflating my bills, and by trying to find ways to limit the money and resources that we have so that I can't pay my bills. It seems like a very impossible situation. that I'm in. So I'm like, something's going to kill me, one or the other. And the whole thing about, you know, going out and working when I have a bachelor's and a master's, I feel like even that my life is at risk, that I might die at work because I've been raped and abused by this biotech for 9 years. There are people that love to make me feel like I'm less than or the underdog, or try to like intimidate me and drone me and communicate with me in ways that are subjugated and subservient. One, by burning me in my head, stabbing me at the back of my head. When I was at my daughter's play, I was sitting in the second to front row. I got burned at the top of my head, stabbed in the back of my head, choked in my throat. All that happened at my daughter's play. Just sitting there watching her with my parents right next to me. Someone was sitting a few seats back at Sunlight and they were literally attacking me with the biotech. So I just feel like all that weight and then getting digitally raped in my bed and not wanting it, not wanting to feel it, not wanting that to happen to me, and then going into work. And then some woman sitting next to me talking about, hi, how was your weekend? You know, just trying to, you know, whether it be genuine or not genuine, to me at that point, it doesn't matter. My weekend wasn't that great. I got digitally fucked. It was against my will without my consent. I got buzzed out of my bed this morning. Like, you know, like, and I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that bitch or that mean person, but I also don't want to fake and pretend. And then what if they're not, what if they do know that happened to me and they're trying to fuck with me? Like, I don't, and we making the same amount of money and I'm getting treated this way, like a second class citizen. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to go through that because I know me, I know me. I will only get along and go along as long as I think that there's a 50-50 chance that you're an innocent bystander. But once I know you fucking with me, I don't know what I might do. And it might not even be anything violent. I will make you feel uncomfortable like you just made me feel uncomfortable. I will put the shit out in the street and just change the whole dynamics of the conversation. So you'll know that every word that comes out of your mouth after this, I take it like you're fucking with me because I'm not playing with you. That's just who I am. But I can be really nice to a person up until that point. And that's, I'm always afraid of when I realize that you're fucking with me, because then I'm not really a good pretender under those circumstances. I'm a pretender as long as I feel like you may not have anything to do with anything. So then I'm like trying to spare you. I don't want to hurt you or do something, say something to make you feel uncomfortable. And you like, you don't even know. You're like, you know, like I got grace for those type of people. I don't have a whole lot of grace for people who have malicious intent, who be trying to fuck with me. Like, I just don't. And I don't want to get in a situation where I'm challenged in that way. I don't. I just don't, because I just know who I am. And I be trying to avoid that. I do. I be trying to avoid it. I just want to have a nice day, you know, a nice day, because life is short. You never know when your day is coming without the bullshit. And it seems almost impossible sometimes. So this recording has been very long, very, very long.